Firing up, hour number two. Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. And this show is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Appreciate that relationship very much. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience in this second hour. It sets up like this. Coming up next segment, I've got the head basketball coach at Rutgers, Steve Peichel. Also coming up this hour, the What's Your Beef segment. Or as Rex in the ABQ likes to call it, the beef jerky segment.
Is this the beef jerky segment?
Got a lot of beefs. Mostly, though, on social and even email, but not on the phones. So if you've got a beef and you want to get through, hit me up on the phones right now. 1-800-636-8686. Lots of beefs on Twitter. Lots of beefs on the email. As an example, dear Mr. Rome, we must warn you. Well, at Torrey Pines, please refrain from any references to our client's play out of any sand traps, or we will be forced to take legal action. Signed, Patrick Reed's legal team. Brian in Charlotte, Warhawk using his travel per diem on range balls. Yeah, I don't suspect it. The guys that we're talking to tomorrow are going to have a lot to say about Patrick Reed. I've just noticed that. Guys are not talking about it now. This email reads, Jimmy Brah. Can you believe James Harden went 1-for-17 from three-point land yesterday? Sounds like my smack-off record, brah.
Brah.
Charcuterie Lee yours, Silk in Huntington Beach, brah.
Brah.
Brian in Charlotte, War Rome, flying in early for the Super Bowl this Saturday so we can handicap the Pegasus Cup with Edzo together at Gulfstream. Yeah, that's not the plan, Brian. Appreciate the invite. That's not the plan. But when Jungle Racing made it back into the winner's circle yesterday, one of the very first people to text me was none other than the aforementioned Edzo, which was really nice. Eddie Olczyk is a Hall of Fame handicapper. He knows that stuff cold. Dear Grandpa, happy National Hug Day. We will be watching you on TV and then swing by the office to give you a big hug and some butterscotch discs. Regards, Ike's grandkids being forced by their parents to come visit him at work. It's Rit!
It's lit!
Geoff and Lincoln. Damn, look at the lettuce on that guy. Warhawk. Having Alvy bear hug him and pick him up in order to crack his back.
Dude, no.
And finally, hey, Rome. Andy Reid celebrated by eating a cheeseburger and going to bed. Did he get that Gucci breakfast, too?
Get that Gucci breakfast.
Regards those knob Toledo reporters.
Yes! Beyond fleek.
Bye, Felicia. To that
Mitch testing. From Buffalo. On what? Fleek emailer. Unwar goals.
Goals.
So why don't we talk about Andy Reid for a minute? As I mentioned, the coaching matchup is so good that each coach gets a take on the show today. I added a third guest. No need for you to keep soliciting. So the Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl for the first time in 50 years. And the guy leading them to Miami, to me, it's pretty much impossible not to love. Of course, I'm talking about, well, two guys. Patrick Mahomes, to me, is impossible not to love. But what I'm talking about in this case is the one and the only Andrew Walter Reed. If there's one head coach in the NFL who nearly everybody wants to see win a first Super Bowl, other than Niner fans, it's Big Red. Hell, Patrick Mahomes himself said it yesterday. He'd be happier to win it for Andy than he'd be to win it for himself.
It'd be amazing, obviously. I mean, the work and that he's put in every single day. So obviously, we want to get him that Super Bowl. But we understand it's a process. We understand that first off, we gotta come in, have a great practice today, and then play great this weekend, and then try to give ourselves a chance to be in that game and get a chance to get him that trophy.
Would you be happier for him or for yourself?
I'd probably be happier for him for sure. But I mean, I think I'll be pretty happy too for myself.
I think if you were to go around that locker room, that would not be uncommon or unusual. I think they would be happier for their coach than for themselves. Dustin Colquitt said the same thing yesterday. And I'm sure there are a lot of other guys in that locker room who badly want to put a Lombardi in the paws of the big dude. Speaking of the big fella, Andy Reid told reporters after the AFC title game Sunday that part of his prep for South Beach included getting into South Beach shape.
You know, again, fired up. Fired up to go to Miami. Need to get on a diet so I can fit in my clothes so we can go do our thing.
I see it working, Coach. You're not alone. We talk about this all the time when Super Bowl week rolls around. Time to detox. Time to cleanse. Time to get clean. Time to cut weight. Time to look your best. Because Super Bowl week is the one week all year long when all eyes are on everybody. Everybody's in the same exact spot, sizing everybody else up. Don't think it doesn't happen, because it does. I can totally relate to what Andy Reid is saying. I can totally relate to him saying, you got to look your best on the big stage. Now, I'm not saying that I always show up looking and feeling my best on that stage. What I am saying is, I see big dude working. I can relate to what he's saying. But apparently, Andy either has a start date in the near future for that diet, or he just set the world record for the shortest lasting cleanse ever. Because when he was asked yesterday how he was going to celebrate winning the AFC, or how he did, he said he celebrated like this.
Did you take some personal time last night to enjoy this accomplishment along the way? How'd you spend the evening?
Had a cheeseburger and went to bed.
I had a cheeseburger and I went to bed. Love this guy. Absolutely love Andy Reid. Hours after saying that he had to go on a diet, he happily confesses and owns ripping a cheeseburger.
Had a cheeseburger and went to bed.
Before hitting the sack. What a legend. Somewhere in Cajun country, Ed Orgeron is raising a ham sandwich in approval. And let's be real. Andy Cheeseburger is so much more authentic than Andy Kale Smoothie or Andy Salad. This is the same guy who once shared his 10 cheese Thanksgiving macaroni recipe with a reporter at the airport. The same guy who attacked a couple of plates of Mexican food over the offseason in SoCal.
I attacked a couple Chili Rellenos. They were great. Yeah, no, they were great.
I murdered a couple of them. I assaulted a couple of them.
I attacked a couple Chili Rellenos. They were great. Yeah, no, they were great.
I committed manslaughter on some queso. I love this guy. I love this guy because he's the same guy who co-starred with Guy Fieri at a Kansas City barbecue joint this year and brought his own towel to the taping.
Where are we going to eat?
We're going to a butcher shop that's also the greatest sandwich shop you've ever eaten at. The real deal.
What's it called?
The Pig Witch. We're sitting here in farm country and we're getting the freshest farm there is.
Are you hungry?
I brought my towel. I'm ready. Don't go too far with those fries. Three cheeses, man, blend perfect. How about the jalapenos? Man alive, this is the best sandwich that we've ever had.
As you can see, Coach is enjoying the short rib patty sandwich that he's inhaled half of it already.
Man, I choked out some short ribs. I stabbed some jalapenos. Like, bringing your own towel to a Food Network show is like bringing your own rock to the bowling alley. Am I right, Ike? Or your own stick to a pool table. Or your own darts to a bar. I mean, it just screams authority and experience. So believe me, I was a lot happier to hear that Andy was crushing cheeseburgers Sunday night instead of cleansing or fasting or intermittent fasting or eating rabbit food. It's who this guy is. It's how they got there. Why change up right now? Why change anything before the most important 2 weeks of your life? Diets can cause mood swings, irritability. Man, save that for the offseason. Now, I will say this. The only thing better than a cheeseburger after winning the Lamar Hunt Trophy is a cheeseburger after winning the Lombardi. So, go get you one, Big Red. And I think you know the perfect track for the occasion if you do beat the Niners in Miami. Diets can wait. Diets can wait until after the Super Bowl. And they can wait until after our next encounter at Javier's in Crystal Cove, Coach.
I love the place. I mean, I love it. And you said it. There, you always see people in there that you don't expect to see. I was as excited to see you as you were me. So, I mean, we haven't talked in a long time. And we used to talk all the time and for no reason other than I moved back to Kansas City here and it was kind of a new start. But it was great to see you and your family's phenomenal. I mean, you had a load there now. People don't realize that that was a long table you had. You have a beautiful wife and Janet. Your son, he was beaming, man, 17 years old. It doesn't get any better. Living in California, eating at Javier's, 17-year birthday, and, I mean, come on. How much better does it get?
You know what? I get this all the time. Hey, Rome, who's your favorite interview? What's your best interview? That one? That one? Andy Reid. How do you not love that guy? Now you see why other coaches love him, why his players love him, because that's the real Andy Reid. That's the Andy Reid you get. That was Andy Reid. And when he says, you know what? You say you were happy to see me. I was as happy to see you, Jim, as you were me. That's a lie. That's a straight lie. That is a lie, Andy. There's no way you were as happy to see me as I was to see you. And not only see you, but see you at Javier's. I love that he said, too, you and I used to talk all the time. And we haven't for a long time. The only reason for that is I moved back here. But here you are. Here you are at Javier's. And here I am at Javier's. Andy, you just keep doing you. You just keep doing you. You do you. You do it well enough. And then you become the best coach never to win a Super Bowl, who then has a Super Bowl and has punched a guaranteed ticket to Canton. He is the best coach never to win a Super Bowl. He just is. And I could absolutely make the argument that if he doesn't win a Super Bowl, he's still Hall of Fame worthy. I could make that argument. But there is no argument that he's not going if he does win that Super Bowl. I don't play favorites, but Andy Reid is not only one of my favorite coaches ever, he is one of my favorite humans ever.
All right, Jim, you're the best, man. Thanks.
No. You are the best.
Andy Reid went to bed.
Tough matchup, though, man. Niners are awesome. They run the hell out of it. They get after the quarterback. Kyle Shanahan literally is a genius. Not only in the way he schemes, but also in the way he leads and motivates. He wasn't getting a lot of credit for that. That is such a dynamic matchup. I love it. In fact, the coaching matchup is so good, as I mentioned. Andy Reid gets a take. Kyle Shanahan gets a take. We all get takes.
A car.
My take on Kyle Shanahan coming up a little bit later on. Also, Jungle Racing. Like it or not, you're getting that take. Jungle Racing, for the first time in a long, long, long time, back in the winner's circle. So I've got thoughts on it. When we come back, Rutgers head basketball coach Steve Peichel is my guest. Wait for that. In the meantime, what do we want when we're craving protein and we need more energy? And can I tell you, I have both those things working right now. Not bars. I didn't go there. Not a sugary snack. No way in hell I do that. Not an energy drink. No, we want beef. Pure and simple. So where's the beef? It's in a package of Old Trapper beef jerky. Old Trapper is not your old man Ike's jerky. It's shriveled. It's dry. It's tasteless. Ike loves it. Old Trapper beef jerky is made from lean strips of steak and quality spices that are smoked over a real wood fire. That means it's tender and it's tasty. It's not rough. What makes it so good? All of that and the company behind it. A 50-year-old family business known for its relentless commitment to quality. They take their smoked beef extremely seriously, and you can taste it in every single bite. Old Trapper is packed with protein, and it does come in four amazing flavors. Quality smoked meat at its finest that goes with you wherever you go. To the game, to the gym, to the beach, anywhere at all. Make sure you look for it in a clear view bag. That way you can see the quality you're buying. Look for it in major retail stores near you. If you don't see it, just ask for it by name because no other jerky compares. It's Old Trapper. What's your beef?
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. All right, so when I have a head coach like this and he's making his jungle debut, there are generally a lot of reasons for that. But one of them, obviously, is something significant is happening with the team that he's coaching. We are joined right now by the head basketball coach at Rutgers, fourth season with the Scarlet Knights, a four-time America East Coach of the Year at Stony Brook. Rutgers is 14-4. They're 5-2 in the Big Ten. They're number 24 in the AP poll. They're at number 19, Iowa. Tomorrow, we are joined by Steve Peichel. Steve, it is great to have you on the show. How are you?
Jim, I appreciate it. I'm a big fan. Very nice of you to have me on.
It's really nice to have you on. I've been looking forward to it, and we've got lots to cover, you and I, Steve. So let me first ask you, you beat Minnesota at home on Sunday, and that was a significant win in a number of ways, which I want to get to in a moment. But you started that game by falling behind 10-2. Miles Johnson said afterwards, "We started off, we got punched in the face, and we got back up." End of quote. How much did your guys show you by how they got right back up and immediately went on an 11-0 run?
Jim, one thing I've done here, I've got punched in the face a lot. So my team responds, you know, just the way, you know, I do during the course of games. You just get back up and you go right back after the other team. So, you know, the other day was just a sign of that. Things didn't start off great for us, but we got it rolling. Other games, we've gotten off to great starts, and then the other team punches us. We become a team that just continues to fight and, you know, just proud of our guys that they keep, you know, getting off the mat whenever we're down, and they just keep swinging.
We're talking to Steve Peichel, Rutgers head coach. And then when the polls came out yesterday, Rutgers basketball was in the top 25 for the first time in 41 years. And like, I get that no coach is going to celebrate too much about the polls in January, but at the same time, when it's been that long since the program has been ranked, how special is that for your players to achieve that?
You know, I mean, it was a great, you know, just a great day. It's been a long time, and these guys have worked hard and sacrificed. We're in a great league, Jim, as you know, there's a ton of ranked teams, and, you know, to be able to enjoy that time with my team. I told them yesterday, you know, at noontime when I found out, I said, listen, the good news is we're ranked 24th, and then I said, the bad news is the next team we're playing is ranked higher than us. And when I got home last night, Jim, you'll appreciate this story. I got home, I said to my wife, hey, a ranked coach, you know, like a ranked coach. And she says, well, you're not even the highest ranked, you know, person in the family. And I said, what are you talking about? My daughter, Brooke, is at Northwestern playing basketball at Northwestern.
Wow.
And their team was ranked 22nd yesterday. So just when I thought I was like, you know, at the top of the totem pole at home, my wife quickly let me know that we weren't even ranked the highest ranked person in the family.
I love that. I love that. That is a great story. It's a humbling life, man. And you know, you married up and you married well because she'll keep you in line. Not only that, Steve Peichel, my guest, you were picked 12th in the conference before the season in some quarters. But if we go back to Big Ten Media Day, you were telling everybody, you know, I feel good about this team, really good about this team. What did you know about this group that maybe people outside the program did not know about?
You know, Jim, we've been working real hard here. You know, we opened a brand new practice facility, $100 million. Rutgers is really exploding as a university. It's a great school academically. We went to Spain this summer with my team. We got a little head start on the season. You know, we had a lot of different pieces. We were just very young. We start four sophomores, and they just had that quality, like that it factor. Like they wanted to be good. They had the good chemistry, and I just continue to remind them that we're picked 12th in one of the best leagues in the country, and that's what everyone, you know, thinks about us. And we could do something about it. Doesn't mean we have to finish there. And they've been working very hard, sacrificing and getting better. And this new facility has really helped us a great deal. And our fans, the rack that we play in is sold out. We're sold out again coming up. We have Nebraska on Saturday. Place has become a really, really tough place to play. And it's very fortunate for us because our whole league is tough to go on the road. And now the rack has become one of the toughest venues in the conference to play on the road. So very thankful to community students that have come out and, you know, making this a special, special year for us.
Yeah, to that point, it's not only a tough place to play, it's now a tough place to get to. Like, you've already sold out Saturday's game against Nebraska, and the athletic department is implementing an alternate traffic plan. Like, there have been times over the years where traffic was not an issue, it was not that hard a building to get into. So what's it like to have that level of support and that passion behind the program now?
Jim, I was so excited the other day. I pulled into, you know, the parking garage, and I had a person trying to scalp tickets. And I took that as a huge compliment. You know, my first year, I'd be outside trying to give them away. Nobody would stop. And now I have people knocking on my window trying to get extra. And I told the guy kind of politely, I didn't have any. I wish I did, but I didn't have any. And he laughed about it. But it's become a real good venue, and our community has really shown up. And New Jersey's a great state. you know, as you know, and there's a lot of, you know, really good basketball people here. So they're coming. It's hard to get tickets, which I love. And our students, you know, make the environment really crazy.
Steve Peichel, my guest. Steve, let me ask you this, because you had a really, really good thing going where you were, and the reputation at Rutgers was, frankly, it's not just a tough place to win, but because you're in that conference, because you're in the Big Ten now, it's the kind of job that could actually wreck a good coaching career, and you were having a really good coaching career, yet you saw the opportunity. How were you able to block out all of that noise, or maybe did you hear people say that, and what was your response?
You know what? The jobs I've taken have, you know, all been jobs that I saw a tremendous amount of potential, but I've always taken jobs because of the people. And I love the athletic director, Pat Hobbs. He's been awesome. You know, he's an up-and-coming guy and really has done an unbelievable job of building the facilities here. And then being in the Big Ten, I'm up for challenges. I was one of nine brothers and sisters, so every day was a challenge to get in the shower, to eat. You know, so I really felt like I had the right training with Jim Calhoun at UConn as a player for him and then a coach for him, building programs. And, you know, I really saw Rutgers. It's a great academic school. It's in a great location with great people. And it hasn't disappointed. The people here are outstanding and our fans. And, you know, so they took a shot on me and chance on me. And there were a lot of coaches that you know, that were involved in the job. I told them I wouldn't let them down. And I've hired a great staff and I've worked really hard to keep that promise. And, thankfully, my team is really responded and playing some really good basketball.
We were talking Rutgers basketball here in the jungle. You mentioned Jim Calhoun. You played your college ball at UConn for Jim Calhoun. And as you said, when the program won the NIT back in 1988, that was legendary. Obviously, the expectations have gone up a lot since then. But I understand what you're saying. When you consider where they were when he came in, like, do you see similarities between UConn at that time and Rutgers when you took over?
I do. And, you know, it's, you know, a great academic institution. I remember calling Coach Calhoun when the job was open, and he said Steve, he thought it was the toughest venue to play at during his coaching career, Rutgers, when it was rocking. And, you know, I always have a guy like that for advice, and I'm able to call on him. And I was part of the, you know, the program when he was building, and then I got a chance to sit on his, you know, bench next to him as a coach. And there's so many similarities when you're building a program at a, you know, big state university that I saw him go through and the job he did, unbelievable. I remember the first time, like you said, winning the NIT, and that was the most exciting time. And then fast forwarded after he won two or three national championships, people were upset when he lost in the Final Fours. So I saw that build that he went through and, you know, was just very fortunate to have those experiences because they've really helped me. You know, here at Rutgers, I've tried to build, you know, it similarly.
We're talking to Steve Peichel. We're talking Rutgers basketball. And then, Steve, sophomore Ron Harper Jr. leads the team in scoring. He's second in rebounding. And I want to just take 1 minute and say, I love talking to his dad. Back in the day when the Bulls were the Bulls, obviously you weren't going to talk to Michael Jordan. You weren't going to talk to Scottie Pippen. Ron Harper, though, was almost always available to speak. He'd come on the show, Steve. He was so great. I mean, and what a great player. What a great player. And so, of course,
people don't remember, you and I do. He was a fantastic player and knew how to play and just what a tremendous career, all the rings and, you know, all the part of winning that he's done. And I will tell you, his son is a winner, a great student, first and foremost, too, which I love. And he wanted to stay in New Jersey and play for a state university. And he's just getting better and better, too. He's, you know, he's a young sophomore. He's got size 19 feet. He's got a 7'3" wingspan. And he's just getting better and better and better. And, you know, he's one of the many great stories we have, you know, on our team with Jacob Young's dad played the NBA, played for Phi Slamma Jamma. So we have a couple guys that, you know, played in the NBA and their sons are great kids and working hard. And we got a lot of other kids that, you know, have really bought in and gotten better. We've developed players here and real proud that they've allowed us to develop them.
All right, so finally, if somebody who's turned around programs in the past or completely rebuilt it, what are the signs that you look for to let you know that the team is about to turn the corner or have a breakthrough?
Well, you know, you do have some of those moments. Like early in the season, like the way our bench was reacting to, you know, the success of players on the court, I always think is a big example because, you know, everyone can't play 40 minutes. And so when you have that guy on the bench that's playing 9 minutes or 10 minutes and he's jumping up and down when a player makes a great play on the court, Like, those are the things as a coach, and I show our guys in film all the time, like, this is why we're going to be good, because you are embracing the success of another player. You know, and in the world we're living in now, it's a lot about how many minutes and shots. And my team has really been about they're happy when someone else has had success. And we've had 7 leading scorers in our last 9 games. So we come at you in a lot of different ways. And every time, hey, it's Miles Johnson's night. It's Ron Harper's night. It's Geo Baker's night. It's different players. It's Montez Mathis's night. Different players have had their nights. And everyone seems to be happy for those guys on those nights. And, you know, that's not always the case in coaching nowadays.
So last thought, Kelvin Sampson was on the show earlier, and we talked about that very notion, Steve. Like, in your mind, how important is it not to mess with happy?
Hey, it's very important. It's very important at home, too.
It's more important at home.
Happy.
It's more important at home.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So we try to do that, keep these guys in a good place. We have a tough week. The problem is we play the 6th toughest schedule in the country remaining. So we can't get too up or too down. We got to just keep banging away and, you know, just excited about basketball here at Rutgers and excited about this university embracing basketball.
I love it. I love it. I love that you're that excited about it, that they are, and it makes me excited to talk to you about it, honestly. Rutgers, 14-4, 5-2 in conference, number 24 in the AP poll, and they're at Iowa tomorrow. Steve, great to have you on the show. Thanks so much.
Jim, thanks so much for having me. You have a great day.
You too. That was fun. Steve Peichel is the head basketball coach at Rutgers. I'm going to say the kind of guy or the kind of person, kind of guy, kind of gal, kind of person, young, old, whatever, that's always going to be welcome on this show. Those that are so into the process, they like what they're doing. They like where they are. They want to talk about their program. They want to talk about their players. They want to talk about the experience. I always have time for people like that. I always not only have time, but I'm eager to talk to people like that. And that's Rutgers basketball. 1-800-636-8686. I mentioned that I added a third guest. That third guest is Pete Prisco, CBS Sports, senior NFL columnist. Still ahead, I want to get into my thoughts on Kyle Shanahan ahead of the Super Bowl. I'll be in Miami next week, but I'll be in San Diego tomorrow. Torrey Pines for the Farmers Insurance Open. Got a number of players set up, including Pat Perez. Pat Perez is a legend. He is a legend. Not only the people's golfer. Quick side story. When I was in Kansas City, Pat Perez texted me. He's like, Jim, I'm back in the jungle. Can we do 2 segments? I said, Pat, dude, you are incredible. I said, I got somebody before you. I got somebody after you. I can't do 2, but you got a nice fat segment. You are the people's golfer. See what I mean? I love the people who want to be on the show. So Pat Perez is already locked in, ready to go. And I've got others, big-time golfers, showing up tomorrow. So look for that. We are on the road. No TV tomorrow, just radio. When we come back, we are open. In fact, when we come back, why don't we beef? Let's beef. Hit me up on the phones right now if you have a beef. If it's a good beef, I will jump you right to the front of the line. 1-800-636-8686.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Next time you want a protein snack, ditch the drinks and the bars and grab a bag of Old Trapper beef jerky. Tender, tasty, real beef that rocks your craving for a snack which satisfies. Ask for it by name because no other jerky compares. It's Old Trapper. What's your beef? Welcome back. Time for the beef segment.
Is this the beef jerky segment?
As Rex would say, the beef jerky segment. It's actually the What's Your Beef segment. Because it's presented by Old Trapper. All right, starting with an email beef. Rome, I've got a beef. I have a beef with my dad. When he comes to visit the family and the grandchildren, while we're out to eat and the bill arrives, he offers to go halvesies. Cheapest rich dude ever. Jim in Chicago, where my father-in-law, oppositely, paying the bill before it comes to the table. That's pretty funny. So, like, your father-in-law will sneak the credit card to the waiter early in the meal. And you're like, oh, no, I was going to get that, when you know you weren't, Jim. Meanwhile, your dad's like, hey, man, hey, son, why don't you pay for that before the bill comes so granddad doesn't have to? Because you're rich, old man. You know, there was that generation where the kids knew they'd do better than the parents. Now there's, and no offense, millennials, you ain't going to do as well as we did. We know this. You know this. That's why you're crying about your old man not picking up the tab. Jim in Chicago. It's not bad. Pretty good beef. This reads, Jimmy Jim, my beef is with my baggy neighbor who parks her crappy red Corolla directly in front of my house for days and sometimes weeks at a time. I get that it's technically public parking, but there's plenty of room in front of your own house and you only park it in front of mine because your car is ugly. You are ugly too. Brent in PC. I've said it once, I've said it 100 times. Personal appearances are not show fodder, except for that. I like that beef. Man, your car is ugly. That's why you're parking in front of my house. And by the way, you're ugly. I like this segment. Rome, I've got a beef with Mike D'Antoni and his inability to actually coach. You have the talent, but you continue to just let your team play like it's the Wild West. You can't have James Harden and Eric Gordon going 2-for-25 from three. At some point, you have to get your ass in the game and actually coach your team. If the step back three is not working the first 15 times, maybe it's time to get some better looks. Enjoy your early exit again if you aren't willing to actually coach. Sean in Iowa, where Russell Westbrook getting the ring he deserves, even if it's not in Houston. It's a good beef. A straight sports take is a beef. Hey, Rome, I got a beef. It's with my neighbor. Garage full of junk guy. His 3-car garage is full of all kinds of crap. So he has to park his cars and his kids' cars in the street. So when the freaking snowplow comes down the street, they go around his 5 cars and they miss half our street. Clean your garage, you bag. Aaron in Iowa, this is already my favorite beef segment to date. This is good. A lot of neighborly beefs, and I get that. Hey, Rome, my beef is with Dad here and his celery water. What's the hurry, old man? Don't you know I'm on Graham? Whatevers. No, whatevs, boomer. You can wait for me. Signed, teenager working the juice bar. Mark in South Carolina. That is so good. That is so good. That's exactly what happened to me. I'm at the juice bar waiting on my celery water, and the teenager behind the bar is like, I'll be right with you. And then she never got back to me. And I was the only one there. And it was early in the morning. And I'm looking at her and I'm getting more and more perturbed. And she's looking at me like, what's your hurry, old man? I'm on the gram. Whatevs, boomer. This is the best one yet. The best what's your beef segment yet. I hope it never ends. Hey, Rome. My beef is any kook who believes it's acceptable to save those plastic teeth flossing picks for a second use. I once saw a dude with a floss pick jammed in his pack of smokes. Another time, I saw a guy in a professional setting with a floss pick jammed in the business card slot in his leather padfolio. They sell those floss picks in packs of 50 and 100 for a reason. Use once and dispose of properly, you freaks. Every single one of these beefs is legit. Hi, Jim. My beef is with the pothole that took me out biking into the office this morning. Straight over the handlebars. Now I will have to answer questions from my coworkers all day about why my arms and hands are bloodied. And because it's raining in Tempe this morning, add muddy clothes to the mix for good reason. Or measure. Thanks, pothole. Maybe I should pay more attention next time to where I'm going. Signed, Professor Dave in Tempe. That's not like self-gloss. I mean, it is. But according to this, he is a professor and a PhD. I love when PhDers email the program. My man is a PhD and an assistant prof at the School of Geographical Sciences and Urban Planning at Arizona State. Hell yes, Professor Dave. Broham, man, be careful. Look out for those potholes. Hey, Rome. My beef is with gas pumps asking a million questions. I already like where this guy's going. Normally, I hate this guy's emails, but I already like where this guy's going. My beef is with gas pumps asking a million questions. No, I don't have a rewards card. No, I don't want a car wash. No, it's not a debit card. Why the hell do I need my zip code? And no, I'm not old man Ike. I don't need a printed receipt. It's 10 degrees. My one-year-old just pooped up her back. Give me some freaking gas. Casey in New Hampshire, well done. It is so true. I hate it when I'm trying to give somebody my money and they won't take it. Do you want the money or not? It's hard to make money. Stop asking me questions. Take my money. If not, I'll give it to somebody who does want it. Ha, good job. Although they made your job easy today. Those were really good. All right. How about somebody on the phone? What's your beef? Let's go to Kentucky. You know I love Kentucky. Steve in Kentucky. What's going on, Steve? What's your beef?
Not much, Jimbo. I'm just sick of that Conor McGregor hiding behind that Irish cream that he's been drinking, saying that's why he couldn't take Khabib on, which is good he beat Cowboy. I don't know if he's going to want to fight Jed Clampett next, but good thing he beat Khabib, Cowboy, because when Masvidal jumps up and kicks that chicken off his chest, that Dos Equis coat that he wears when he's promoting that Irish whiskey won't fit no more, Jimbo.
My man, Steve, thank you very much. He hates him some McGregor. Now, did you just say that he's hiding behind whatever he's hiding behind because he doesn't want to fight, quote, Khabib? Khabib. Are you talking about Khabib in Green Bay or Habib?
Khabib.
Why would Conor fight Khabib in Green Bay? And what, did you call him Masvidal? Guess who's on my podcast this week? Jorge Masvidal. Masvidal. Who's a stud. Can't wait to talk to him again. He's already been on this show, but he needs more real estate.
Masvidal.
Masvidal. Khabib and Masvidal. Yeah, Conor McGregor's running his mouth, isn't he? While at the same time hiding from the likes of Khabib and Masvidal.
Masvidal.
I'll give you this. They're hard names to pronounce. Not as hard as you're making them, but they are hard names to pronounce. Let's try somebody else. Let's go to North San Diego. Mark. What's going on, Mark? What's your beef?
Hey, Jim. I just wanted to put in the Leucadia part because I know you knew where it was.
I do.
All those years of Lee Hacksaw calling for Spring Valley to shoulder lightning bolts, but passing over poor Leucadia. Just had to get that off my chest.
Good.
Anyhow, one thing that really angers me is all the football announcers insisting on calling the Giants the New York Football Giants. Yeah, I know it's their legal name, but, you know, a root canal is called a pulpectomy, but nobody calls it that. You know, I don't know. Maybe they're trying to be nice to the Giants fans by making that piece of crap team, you know, take some of the stink off it. I don't know. But we don't need to know it's the New York Football Giants anymore. Last one, Pedro Martinez calling out fires for breaking the unwritten rules of baseball. Talking about a sport that insists on putting a Y at the end of every stinking name and having guys like Dickie and Bucky walking around with straight faces. That's it, Jim. Have a great day in San Diego. Take care.
Oh, man, good job, Mark. Really, really good job. Like, I'd rack that call. In fact, go ahead and rack that call. That is my favorite What's Your Beef segment we've done yet. Next time you want a protein snack, ditch the drinks and the bars. Grab a bag of Old Trapper beef jerky, tender, tasty, real beef that rocks your craving for a snack that satisfies. Ask for it by name, because no other jerky compares Old Trapper with your beef. Like, Old Trapper not only has an amazing product, they have given us an amazing segment. That was the best What's Your Beef segment yet. Third hour's coming up. We're talking Kyle Shanahan next.